And we are rocking. All right. All right, everybody. Today, you know, welcome to the relaunched NFNLP forum, which we'll do on Wednesdays. I'll be very respectful of time. I don't want it to go any longer than like 45 minutes max. Everybody's busy. And, you know, right now, some of us are still in lockdown or semi-lockdown. So may not be totally back to normal, excuse me, but it's getting back to normal. So people have things to do. It's during the week, things like that. On Saturdays, we're having the new Success Saturdays, I think is what we're calling it, where for the next few weeks, we'll be talking about different aspects of success, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, your career, whatever it is. Because I did three Saturdays where I did like I did a review of basic NLP, master NLP, and trainers NLP. Then we did one on addictions, did another one. So I've been doing that, and it's been going quite well, and people like it. So they've asked me to keep it going. And again, I'll be very respectful of time and, you know, keep it short, keep it fun, and actually try to give you something you can use. That's the NFNLP way, which is, you know, make complex ideas simple and do things that you can use, you know, either quickly or that. And so since we're just relaunching that, I thought what we would do today, or what I would talk about today, is it's called the comfort switch, right? And it's kind of an NLP technique I've played with a little bit and people have played with. And what the comfort switch is to take things that you're uncomfortable with and make them comfortable, to make that switch from uncomfort to comfort without losing reality, if you will. We don't want to make you comfortable doing something you're not good at. You know, we don't want false competency. We don't, you know, we want you to go through certain steps. But what do I mean by the comfort switch? Well, there's some background info to it real quick. You know, one of the things I'm always amused is I hear people say, you know, we give 110% all the time. Maybe because being trained in linguistics, I'm like, well, that's interesting. If you can give more than 100%, then you weren't giving 100%, because 100% means you have nothing left to give. I think this is it's just one of these things that we say. I don't know where it all comes from. Could come from, like, you know, engineering, where the 100% is like a machine will be at 100%. Well, you can go beyond it. You know, I'm sitting here on the deck of the Starship Enterprise. If you remember the Enterprise, they'd always talk about, you know, Captain, I'm running at 100%. Well, give me 110, 120%, Scotty. I need more power. And they would go past it. But a true 100% of what you can do is that's it. There, you have nothing left to give. But what I want to talk about is kind of a different aspect of it. You know, when you see a truly elite performer, are they operating at absolute 100%? You know, and people say, yes, this, that, and the other thing. I would say, what if they're operating at like 80, 85, 90%, right? They always have a little bit more they can give, but their 80 or 90% is better than everyone else's 100%, right? They still have a little bit more, but they've become so good at what they do, they make it look easy. So when you look at, like, whether it's sports or arts, the really high performers make it look easy. And what begins to happen, if you're operating at that optimal range where you still have a little bit left, it's where you're totally connected, but you still have some room to go, some room to grow, some to do things. You know, you always hear about athletes talking about they get that moment where it clicks in, you know. In American football, they'll talk about picking up the speed of the game, or basketball or baseball, soccer. You know, as you go up to the pros, they get the speed of the game. And they'll say things like, the game slows down. So they're in control. They're thinking ahead. They're doing different things. Performing artists talk about it, where they get to that point where it clicks in, where they're comfortable. And yet, you know, they can be in the middle of doing it and yet thinking about it, you know. For years, we've talked about, you know, the four levels. I don't know if you call it learning, But, you know, where you have unconscious incompetence, you don't know, you don't know. Great. You're just ignorant. There's no big deal. Then you get to the level of you're conscious that you don't know something. You know I don't know how to do X. Okay. Now that's a decision point. And then you can either learn to do it or not do it. You see people do that all the time. I don't know how to do Facebook. Well, you can either learn to do it or not do it. You know, but then if you, once you decide to do it, you move into where you get consciously competent, where you can do it, but you have to think about it. Now, when you're getting consciously competent, there's some levels in it. First, it's uncomfortable because it's new, because you haven't done it. It's different. You know, there's, you know, so you feel a little bit uncomfortable. If you practice enough, they say, you get to conscious competence or unconscious competence, excuse me, or subconscious competence, where you're just flowing, baby. You're having fun. You don't even have to think about it, right? You're on autopilot. You know, and again, we see athletes talk about it, performing artists, they're in the flow, whatever term you want. I would say there's one more level that very, very few people get to, where they get to that level, and I've been thinking about this, right? And yes, it hurts when I think, but they get to that level of, I don't know what to call it, but it's you're consciously competent, but you know what you're doing at the same time. So you're tracking it, and it's almost like you're in the experience and yet you're tracking the experience. You know, again, you hear athletes talk about it. They're in the flow of the game, but they're one step ahead. They know what's going on. They're totally into it, and yet they're tracking everything around them. I hear performing artists talk about that all the time. Actors, singers, you know, they're in it. They're in the performance, but they're tracking everything. You know, they'll be in an actor might be in a play and they're doing their thing. They're in the play. They're really into the moment, as actors would say, and they're doing all this stuff. And yet they're tracking, like, you know, something's going wrong off stage. You know, somebody missed their cue. They're not coming in. So it's that it's, I don't know what to call it. It's like hyper awareness, right? But anyway, to go back, that's just something to the side. So what I want us to get to is to be able to speed up getting to that comfort level. Because when you're really good with something, you get comfortable with it. But, you know, and there's some steps we go through. If you could think about something that you had to learn how to do that at first was uncomfortable, whether it was like driving a car, those of us can remember, you know, driving a car, learning how to drive, you had to really think about it, you know, hands at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you're very conscious, you know, don't turn on the radio, don't talk to me while I'm doing it, right? And then you drove several hundred hours usually, and then something clicked in where you're driving the car, the radio's on, you're singing, you know, you might be carrying on a conversation. Now we see people driving a car and texting. I'm not suggesting that, but it's you moved into where you're very comfortable doing that activity, right? I'm doing another master trainer course, and trainers talk about, you know, the first few times you're trained, you're very uncomfortable. Well, you should be. It's new. Yeah, anything new should be a little bit uncomfortable, right? Especially if you're going to really learn this new skill. It's going to be a little bit, because you don't have a reference in your head yet, right? And so you gotta keep doing it till you get comfortable with it. And a lot of people can get to the point where once it gets comfortable, they're almost like they can track that moment that they go, I can do this, and I can do this okay, right? I remember the first big NLP training I did. I'd done some little ones here and there, and then I was doing a big training at the National Guild of Hypnotists. I don't even want to say when it was, probably 1990. And I had all the big names in that world of hypnosis in my room, right? George Bien, a couple other people were in my room. And I was somewhat intimidated, right? You know, this is like the next level up. And it was about halfway through that training, I just felt comfortable, you know? And I'd been through the trainer's training with Richard Bandler, a bunch of other trainer's trainings, and I, you know, it was all in my head, but it had to get down to that where I felt comfortable, right? So that's what I want to talk about today. It's like this comfort switch. Can you take things and speed up feeling comfortable, especially if it's something you need to get good at, that it's easy to just quit. You see people do it. I don't want to do this, right? And it's not to be confused with stepping out of your comfort zone, right? Your comfort zone is, it's usually just things that you've done a lot. You know, you're just comfortable doing this. Of course, when you step out of that comfort zone and you start doing something new, it's going to feel a little strange. It's going to feel a little bit, you know, because it's new, it's different. If you're doing something new, right? Whatever it is, right? So can we speed up? Because your brain knows how to do these things. You've done this over and over again as an adult. You know, that's the joy of us trainers in the hypnosis, the NLP world. We're training adults. They have a whole bunch of information to draw from. We're not dealing with kids, which we have to give them the experiences. You know, not most of our students have things they can draw from. So you have this whole world of information that you can draw from, right? And so you find that in their heads, and it gives them a pattern of what it was like to go from being uncomfortable doing something like driving a car, giving a public speech, right? Things like that, until they got comfortable with it, right? Now there's something kind of interesting. You have this true guardian angel inside your head or outside your body, whatever you want to call it, that's helping you, right? Part of it, it's putting you on alert. If you're doing something new, you should feel that's part of that being on edge. You know, we want you to be cognizant that you're doing something outside of your zone, right? And so, you know, it helps you stay sharp. It's just like if you haven't done something for a long, long time and you start doing it, when you first start doing it, it might feel a little uncomfortable, right? And then it'll kick in and you'll be able to do it. There's some other models that when I started thinking about teaching this, I started calling people. Well, just a couple people. Because I was fascinated with one thing. I have some people I know. I'm not going to say real close, but I know them. A couple of them share a voice teacher. And she's on a national tour everything shut down. But she was in a national tour of a musical. And I asked what it was like not to just do the national tour, because the show's the show, right? But what it was like, because each night or every few nights, they're in a different venue, or I think they do about a week at a place, right? So they'll come in and they'll do a week show here, right? Then they'll pack up, they'll go somewhere, and they'll do a week show in another theater. Well, if you think about it, the show's the same, but everything else changes. You know, tonight they're in the set is 60 foot across by 30 foot deep. Great. So when they get there and they build out the set, they have this room. Now, in a couple weeks, they may be in a theater that's 25% smaller, right? So your timing's changed. And this is a musical where you got dances and things like this. So everything changes on the fly, you know? And sometimes, as she said, the fun part is they get to a theater where they get to do a walkthrough. They get to do a walkthrough, right? But not a true rehearsal. They get to get on stage and kind of get their bearing. Now, what she said, and this is kind of ties into what I'm talking about, you know, she hadn't done this kind of show before, this kind of tour, and she was terrified. You know, how do you get used to it? Because those of us that you're used to working in a certain theater, you get comfortable with it. You know where all your marks are. You know where the lights are. It becomes easy to go into that unconscious competence, right? And she was used to that, right? And now she's doing the same show, same line, same song, same dance movements, nothing changes. But every night it's got to be different, because the size of the set is different, the way the audience, where the lights are, how the sound is hitting you, everything's different. And she goes, it's kind of cool, because thank God she had some women in the cast. She's doing Menopause, the musical. she had some women in the cast have been doing it. They go, well, you can look at it as a challenge, or you can look at it, it's kind of fun, because that means, you know, every week or two when you're in a new theater, it's basically kind of a new show, you know, because you can't do 8 steps across. You can only do 6, or it's a huge stage. You can do 9 steps across. Right. And you could do this, you could do that. You know, you got to, where your spotlight's going to hit you, going to be slightly different. And yet you still want to be in the flow. You don't want to look like you're in a rehearsal, you know, because you pay a lot of money to see the show. You expect to see professionals. And so she goes, that clicks something in her head. And so, and she always says, like, about 2 minutes into the show, it'll click in, you know, once she's got, especially the first night in a theater, you know, it'll click in, because she's running that the show is the same, and yet it's going to be different. And I talked to her standing in the hallway of where my voice teacher teaches, and I'm like, I can use that, right? Because those of us, and this is what happens, those of us, yes, I speak for a living, to those of us that do therapy, you know, you're doing a visual squash, you're doing a new behavior generator, you're doing a parts work, you're doing a regression of cause, a past life, whatever it is you do, you kind of have that format. It's like doing that show, but every client's going to make it slightly different, you know? Just like, you know, performers, of course, talk about the difference between doing like a live performance and one that's filmed, right? Because every night a live performance is different. They're going to laugh in different places. You know, the lines you get used to people laughing at. Some nights you can hear the crickets in the back of the room. Other nights they'll laugh here. They'll do this. So it keeps it fresh. And so it's that idea of how do you feel comfortable? And again, you know, how do you switch this comfort switch in your head so you can feel comfortable? And so this is, you know, a new concept, and this is a technique that I'm developing that you feel free to develop with me, which is find something in your life that you want to be good at that maybe you're not good at yet, but you know how to do. You got to know how to do it, right? And you got to be willing to do the work, but you want to feel comfortable beginning to do it, right? So basically what we want to do is skip feeling uncomfortable and jump into feeling comfortable, right? And taking that feeling with you. Right. So all you have to do is think about first step. Here's the first step, is think about something that you learned how to do that was a little bit uncomfortable when you first did it. You know, you could pick driving a car. A lot of people on this call right now, first time you start doing therapy, whether it's hypnosis or NLP or therapy, you feel a little uncomfortable, you know, whatever it was. Right. And then you got comfortable with it. You're just like, I could do that, you know, and things don't phase you anymore. Right? Could be giving a talk at a public place, whatever it is that now you're comfortable. And think about doing that activity that at one time was uncomfortable, but now is comfortable. And step into that experience. And does it have a color? And where do you feel it in your body? Knowing that it followed a trajectory, giving your brain the command to go back and remember that you didn't just jump from never did this before to I love, you know, this is easy to do. There was a little bit of uncomfort, right? So we're going to track that, right? And now, so once you get this, let's say it's giving a public speech, you know, first couple of times I was terrified, you know, conferences, because these are peers, these are people that, you know, I assume know what I'm talking about, you know, so I'm scared, right? And then after I gave a few of them at some conferences, I actually look forward to it. That's when I knew it clicked in. It was about the third time I was giving a big talk at a conference. And I just look forward to it, right? And something clicked in my head. And that's the way I describe it. There was a click. And then it's like there's a pinkish blue hue going on when I'm doing. Probably comes from doing stage shows and stage plays where that's kind of some of the lighting. Great. Clicks in. So let's say I'm going to start doing something new. You know, I could take that feeling of being comfortable and the pink and blue hue up here, right? And having something just click in where I can switch back and forth, where I can be in the moment, but I can track it, you know? So you might pick therapy, you might pick driving a car, whatever it is. And then you take this new skill and you overlay it on it, right? I've started to do this. It only took me a few years to just pull my head out of my own posterior and begin to think about it. It's like I'm trying to learn. I'm trying. See, listen to my language. I'm currently mastering acting for the camera versus acting on film or stage. So mastering acting for film or on camera versus on stage. It's the same activity, you know, acting, creating unreal, making unreal events real, yada, yada, yada. But it's a slightly different process, right? On stage, it's big, it's bold, it kind of fits me easy as a trainer. I could be out here. When you step into the film world, it's different. So can I take that same process that I got comfortable doing stage work and turn it into film, you know? And I thought about that when I was watching an actor be interviewed, where he was a very big, well-known stage actor, and he started doing film. And he goes, the difference, you know, he had to create a switch in his head where it's the same process, but rather than be big over the top, it's tone everything down. Actually, the actor was, you know, Hugh Jackman, right? Because, you know, Wolverine and some of the other movies, but a lot of people don't realize, you know, he's a Tony Award-winning stage actor, right? So anyway, so it's like, it can be done. And like he said, it just took a couple films, couple of roles, and it clicked in. So you could do this for something you want to learn how to do and make normal, right? And your brain has that trajectory. So if you give it the permission to take the new behavior, the new thing you want to get comfortable at, and overlay it on something you've already learned how to do, knowing that there's a process, you know, and somewhere in there, you know, you might have 10 hours of rehearsal time, 20 hours of practice time, hundreds, whatever it is, right? And then you're going to have to keep revisiting it. One of the keys is revisiting it, you know? And, you know, I plan on doing a NFNLP forum thing on keeping your skills sharp through time, you know, basically taking from how pilots and high performance people, you know, keep their skills sharp. So the comfort switch is that find something you're comfortable with that you had to learn how to do that was uncomfortable when you first were learning it. And then, you know, kind of access the path in your brain and get a color, a shape, a sound, a feeling. Great. And now you have that. Now you take this behavior you want to learn how to do, being let's say you're nervous about giving a big talk to a conference, you know. So you take that skill and you overlay it on what you had to learn how to do, right? And your brain begins to make you feel more comfortable in it. What that frees you up to really begin to practice the skills at a different level, right? You know, to learn at a faster pace, right? And this could be why you see people that get good at one thing, they can start getting good at several other things. You know, in the therapy world, it's like once you learn hypnosis, I always say, if you learn NLP first, hypnosis comes easy, EFT becomes easy, you know, past life regression. You have a framework that you can plug in the other things to much, much quicker. So that's the comfort switch. I'll write that up and it'll be, I'll probably put it out in the next e-zine. So make sure if you're not on my e-zine list to go to nfnlp.com, sign up for the e-zine. And so I'll put the steps to the comfort switch. All right. The other technique I talked about a while ago, which is called the flip, right? And it kind of goes with what I just talked about with the comfort switch. It's all beginning to track how your brain is actually processing information, you know, how your brain is processing information. And what the flip is kind of goes with the comfort switch in the way you have this part of your mind that things that used to, that are no longer true for you. And then you have an area of your mind where things are true for you, right? It might be, I used to live in Chicago. Now I live in Florida, right? So in my mind, somewhere there's the idea, the placement in my actual physical brain of, yeah, that's true. It used to be true for me, but it's not now. So that used to be true, but now it's not. It's not that it wasn't true. It's not that I didn't maybe like living where I used to live. It's no longer true, you know? And then you have the idea of things that are true for you. I live in Florida. This is true for me, right? So what if you begin to use this tracking mechanism, much like the comfort switch to begin to overlay things, you know, that used to be true and now it's not, you know. Maybe you used to smoke cigarettes, now you don't, right? You could beat yourself up over the fact you smoke, but I don't smoke anymore, you know. Personally, I never smoked cigarettes. It's the only bad habit I never picked up. I smoked cigars for a while, but never cigarettes. But you could say, I used to drink, now I don't, you know. And so that's somewhere in my mind. And if I go and, oh, and if I think about this thing that's no longer true for me, and you could do this with your clients, think about this thing that's no longer true for you. Where is it when you think about it? You know, in my case, it's kind of not quite behind me. It's kind of over here and down. Yeah, my drinking, and it's dark and it's painful. You know, I don't want this to come back, right? This is a big one. You know, I also have, like, I used to live in Inglewood, Florida, and now I live in Venice. When I think about Inglewood, it's kind of close to this, but there's no pain in it. It's like, okay, I like living there, but I like living here more. So I have the part of my mind that this is no longer true for me over here. Now, if I think about something that's true for me now, I live in Venice, Florida. I like doing this. It's right here. It's kind of like right there. It's right in my, this is just true for me, right? So what if I take this flip technique, and so let's say a smoker's coming to me and they want to stop smoking. Is there anything in your life that you used to do and now you don't, right? The last smoker I worked with, which to be honest with you was a few months ago, for some reason I don't attract smokers. But we started talking and they said, you know, when I was a kid, you know, up into my late teens, I used to love sweet candy. I said, really? Oh yeah, really sweet candy, whatever it was. He told me the name. I said, so right now when you think about that sweet candy, I just say sweet candy, where is it? He goes, it's kind of back here. It's like, I just don't like it anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. So I had him take his hand and he did this, right? I'm like, okay, so that's sweet candy. It's like, and at one point you loved it, right? Oh my God, when I was a little kid, I'd go out of my way, I'd hoard it, I'd steal it, da, da, da. Great, okay. So you used to love it, now you don't, and it's back here, right? And I go, what would happen now if you had it? He goes, nah, just, you know, nope. He goes, you know, Halloween comes, he had kids, you know, when they bring home the candy, he goes, nah, I might eat some of the other candy, but I never eat that really sweet crap candy. I said, okay, so this is no longer, you used to eat sweet candy, now you don't. Great. And so I had him take his cigarettes, the idea of him smoking, and put, after we did a couple other techniques, it wasn't the only technique. I did the swish pattern, I did the visual squash, he did a couple other things. Then I had him take the cigarettes, the idea of him smoking, and putting it like that sweet candy. It's just something he used to do and now he doesn't. No big deal, no guilt. It's just, I even used the term he used, because I kind of outgrew that sweet candy. Maybe you're ready now, and he was like 40. Finally at 40, you're outgrowing cigarettes. And he put it there. And then I said, now what's something that's true for you now that maybe at one moment wasn't true for you? And he went, you know, he was on his second marriage. He goes, I really like being married. I go, really? He goes, yeah, the first marriage was okay, but he'd been married for a few years this time. He goes, I really like being married. So now, and I said, where is that? He goes, it's kind of right here. It's like, I like being married, you know? And I'm like, great. So we put the cigarettes back. That's no longer true for him. Great. Then I said, now think of you as a non-smoker. It's like, you know, you were kind of, it wasn't, you were surprised. You became aware of, you like this aspect of yourself. So now you're going to like this aspect of yourself as a non-smoker. And, you know, then we did, and then I threw in the linguistic twist that feel free to take, which is, that's not who I am anymore. That you that used to smoke, that's not who I am anymore. I said, because some of your friends that know you smoke, they're going to offer you a cigarette. And you don't have to explain anything. You could just say, I don't smoke. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a non-smoker. And I took that from people that in the recovery world, which I'm a big part of, I see people, they'll kind of just say that in one way or another when it comes to somebody offering them a drink. No, thanks. Not today. That's not what I do. That's not who I am. Didn't you used to drink a lot? Yeah, but that's not who I am anymore. You know, it's just not who I am anymore. And that's such a powerful hypnotic command that people do not take enough seriousness of, right? That's not who I am anymore. And there's no judgment. It's just, I used to, now I don't. I've moved on. And so with this guy, he put the cigarettes back with the sweet candy. So it's no judgment, just I outgrew it. The idea of me being a non-smoker is like me being married. I really like it. It's comfortable. This is what I choose. And then if someone offers you a cigarette, it's easy to say, that's not who I am anymore. You know, one moment in time it was, but it's not now, right? So those are two quick little techniques I thought I would throw out there for people to use as you wish. I will write those up and put them in the next e-zine. Make sure you're on my e-zine list and you actually read it. I know because I send out, I don't know how many it is, but I know I have an open rate of about 12 to 15% of my e-zines, which I always start getting depressed till I talk to internet marketers and they always like go crazy with a 10% open rate. But I try to send information that's not just sales. You know, I mean, I mention classes and I always mention my trainers' classes and stuff like that. Okay, somebody asked about the site. It is in the chat box, nfnlp.com. And there's a way to sign up for the e-zine. I just started an NLP master trainer. Miss Yvonne asked me, email me at drwillhorton@gmail.com. I'll give you some info on that. You know, might be able to jump in. I usually do it once a year. That's all those were two quick techniques. Again, I'm very respectful of people's time. You know, even in the lockdown, people got things to do. Hope everybody is having fun in our, I'm calling it the way I see it, which is forced isolation. It's starting to open up. Glad for that. Again, it's nfnlp.com. Sign up for the e-zine if you're not already. It comes out like once a week, you know. I usually do videos, articles, a little bit of sales, but it's not like pitch. You know, a lot of emails you get is pitch, pitch, pitch. You know, it's like I stress when I'm doing a webinar, I'll say a total no-pitch webinar. Like this one, I'm not selling anything. I got nothing to sell. It's like I'm just going to teach a technique. The Success Saturday thing, I'm not really going to sell anything. We're going to talk about certain aspects of success. Saturday's webinar, this next Saturday, the 13th of June, as I'm sitting here now, is on subconscious blocks to success. You know, why do we subconsciously sabotage ourselves? Which the interesting thing about that is if it's subconscious, you're not aware of it, right? But if you've struggled with success, whether it's physical success, getting the body you want, relationship, getting the relationship you want, getting the career you want, getting the money you want, whatever it is, if you've been working at it for a while, especially those of us in the hypnosis and NLP world, what's stopping you? What's stopping us from getting to that goal? There's got to be subconscious blocks. So we're going to talk about those. I think Saturday, give a whole bunch, and then we'll break them down over a few Saturdays. And then we're just going to have some fun with it. I'm sending out the link for Saturday's thing coming up. So that's all I had to talk about today. Is any questions, comments? Anybody have anything they want to? Again, it's nfnlp.com. And you could sign up for the e-zine if you're not already. Let's see. And again, I send out the e-zine a couple times a week. This link here, the one for this seminar, this will be every Wednesday. The numbers of the Zoom meeting won't change if you want to save it. So I'm just like the Saturday one will always be the same. It's a different number, but it'll be the same same number through time. You know, I'll send it out again. So any questions, comments, anything from anybody? Anyone? Bueller.
Check chat. There's some questions.
Okay. Is the comfort sit? Yeah, I kind of played with, yes, I came up with the comfort switch, at least this version of it. Right? Because it just, I don't know, I just started, it came, Milton Erickson came to me in a dream. I don't know. I don't know where these things come from. You guys come up with stuff. I probably saw something like it somewhere and I tweaked it. There are no new ideas. You know, the universe gives the same idea to many beings at the same time because they know 90% of the people don't take action on their ideas. And if the universe, what did I just hear? That so many people had applied for patents for an electric car that no one has the absolute patent. And then the one, even Tesla, Musk, you know, he had a few patents, but it wasn't for the overall thing. Because, I mean, how many of you have gotten an idea for something, a product, a book, a service, something, and you keep thinking you're going to do it and you drag your butt, and then all of a sudden you're in a bookstore and there's your book. Yeah, or you open up a thing for a conference and God damn it, somebody's speaking on my topic, right? You know, and maybe you talked about it once or twice and you're convinced people stole it from you, but not really. They had the same idea, you know. I remember, here's a story, doesn't go with anything, but it's a cool story, so bear with me. And it has to do with showbiz. But a few years ago, there was like three movies in a row where the president got taken hostage, right? I know a lot of people right now would like this to become a reality, but let's not go down that path. But, and there were three different movies, right? White House Down, something else, right? The two big ones were White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen, right? Two totally different movies. But they're not. They're kind of the same idea, right? And so somebody was asking the two writers, did they like collaborate and then they break apart? And they're like, no, actually, the two main writers of the two movies didn't really know each other. They'd written other movies. The idea just kind of came and they kind of, you know, and what impressed me is neither one had any kind of animosity toward the other person having, you know, the movies was, there was an, anyway, you know what I'm talking about, but it was like, there's an interesting idea, you know, that, and we'll see that, like, two movies will come out about the same time, they're, you know, and they weren't, excuse me, in competition, it's just what happens, you know, and those of us in this field, we'll get an idea for, again, a technique, a seminar, a talk, a topic, and you don't quite get to it, and then you open it up, and there it is at HypnoThoughts, or the National Guild, or IACT, and you're like, you know, and then, of course, if you go actually listen to the person talk, it's never what exactly the way you would have done it, right? And it's like, oh, that's an interesting take, you know? So it's kind of cool. So, yeah, you know, we all see that, you know? So if no one else has any questions, thank you for joining me on the relaunch of the Queen Elizabeth II, so to speak, the relaunch of NFNLP Forum. Think about topics, techniques, questions you might have, please get those to me. Is there, because if it's not in my wheelhouse, and I don't claim to be, my wheelhouse is small, to tell you the truth. But we've got a vast quantity of people in the NFNLP world, and then people I know from other associated worlds that maybe we could bring in to talk about if you have a certain topic you would like to hear about, or types of clients. You know, I do addiction, sports. Pretty much I'm narrowing it down. That's pretty much what I do anymore, right? I do the other stuff, but generally those are my two big ones, right? And lately I'm getting into the whole success belief mindset. But again, I like a lot of us, I'll tie it back to my main thing, which is addictions, you know, which is why do some people recover and other people don't? So we could even say like, why do some people get rich and other people don't? We could track all that info. But if you have a topic, some questions, something you'd like to have taught, let me know. because I said, like, I think next week we're going to hear about buddy boards, you know, how to get like a, it's a different kind of mastermind group, mental mastermind buddy boards. She's got a whole week to finish putting it together. It's going to be fun. And so we'll go from there. But if you have any other ideas, questions, send them to me, you know, call, leave, shoot the information to me. So I'll see everyone soon as we trudge the road to happy destiny. You know, stay safe in this crazy time as the countries across the world are opening up and there's other things afoot. So there's that. So we'll talk soon. Everybody have a great day.